It's no secret that our culture has drastically changed in the past 50 years. In fact, it's changed a great deal just in the last 5 years, and in ways that are counterintuitive to what Christians and most of the world have always known to be good, right, and beautiful. But what have we done? What have we as godly parents done to effectively keep pace with these changes? In light of the many culturally divided issues of our days, have we adequately equipped ourselves and our kids, more importantly, to be change agents to our culture? Or have we found ourselves to be little more than microcosms of it? Addressing the hot buttons of our day, that's our topic today on License to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to License to Parent as we wrap up the year of 2014. License to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping teens in crisis. I'm Rich Rosel, here with the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill and the host of License to Parent, Trace Embry. And Trace, our mission here on the program is to equip parents with the tools and the insights they need to navigate and hopefully transform our culture. And, well, you get to see far better than I, up close and personal and in real time, what our rapidly changing culture is actually doing to the hearts and minds and appetites and even the emotional health of so many of our young people today. This, obviously, by virtue of your work here at Shepherd's Hill.
Yeah, Rich, and you'd be surprised, amazed at the differences we're seeing in kids just in the last 8 to 10 years, particularly since smartphones came on the scene. It's easy for someone like me to live in a perpetual state of frustration, even depression, because I see a world that has prepared a literal Sodom and Gomorrah for my posterity and your posterity's sake. And, you know, it was my generation, our generation, Rich, that really helped prepare all this. I see these kids coming into Shepherd's Hill as virtual zombies, mentally, emotionally, and certainly spiritually.
Yeah.
And all of them used and abused by the very things that so many people in our culture now actually value today, largely because of the effectiveness of Madison Avenue, Hollywood, and again, digital technology. But as inside out as the world is, there's nobody that stays more encouraged than me, because I also get to see what Jesus and a biblical worldview can actually do for a person.
Yeah.
And I'm talking not just the kids. I'm talking their families as well, and extended families. It's amazing how viewing the world through the, you know, the lens of Scripture can free up a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It strengthens my faith every day when I see colonels and generals in the enemy's army transform in God's timing into colonels and generals in the Lord's army. And doctors so often label these kids with maladies that the very negative cultural stimuli has produced to begin with. Then to top it all off, so many of these kids are coming to Shepherd's Hill with bushel loads of medications, meds that often exacerbate the very same problems, a simple dose of the Holy Ghost, if I might say that, and a change in outside stimuli can really transform. I see it all the time, and I think that's why 70% of our kids that come to Shepherd's Hill on bushel loads of meds are graduating medication-free.
Yep.
So I thank God that today's guest has written a book that can help bring some clarity, some truth, some wisdom to some of the most pressing cultural issues of our day, issues that not properly worked through, Rich, can have emotionally damaging effects, not just on our kids, but adults as well. And there's plenty of science to back up what I'm saying here, especially as it pertains to some of the sexual issues that our guest writes about in his book.
That's true. A dose of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The good news is you don't have to have a prescription for that. It's available over the counter. Let me mention this book, though, that you just mentioned. It's a great one. It's called Culture Shock, A Biblical Response to Today's Most Divisive Issues. It's published by Baker Books, and its author is Chip Ingram. You will know Chip, perhaps, as the senior pastor of Venture Christian Church near San Jose, California, but more than likely, you will have heard him on the Living on the Edge broadcast. That's a discipleship ministry and a syndicated radio program that reaches more than 1 million people each week. Chip is the former president of Walk Through the Bible. He's the author of 13 books. He holds degrees from West Virginia University and Dallas Theological Seminary, and he and his wife, Teresa, have 4 children and 9 grandchildren. And by the way, Chip, those are the credentials we look for.
That's
here.
Right.
You can find out more about Chip Ingram and his books and his ministry at livingontheedge.org.
Welcome to the License to Parent broadcast, Chip. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Trace, good to be with you guys, and thanks for all the good work that you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you for a very insightful book. I got to say, I read it from cover to cover. As always, good job. Chip, here on the Licensed to Parent broadcast, we put a premium on parents understanding the culture, because culture, particularly through digital technology, virtually is the other parent today.
Right.
How can your book, Culture Shock, help parents better prepare for kids for the issues of today?
Well, I think the first thing it does is it kind of identifies what those issues are. Because when you're sliding away from truth, when the culture, it's like in the air and the water, and you know, it's like the proverbial picture of, you know, the frog that is in the water mm-hmm. that is brought up and it boils very gradually and it just sits there until it dies.
Yeah.
And so I think, one, it just identifies these are the big issues. I was with the group recently, and I just made the statement. I said, in the last 50 years, and then I showed them all the statistics, but in the last 50 years, biblical morality among God's people, forget the culture,
right.
but biblical morality inside God's people have changed more in the last 50 years than in the last 4,000.
Isn't that incredible?
And so then the symptoms of that shift of truth, and really the shift away from what Scripture says, is abortion and homosexuality and homosexuality, issues like the environment, politics, and all this really goes back to, you know, how do you know what's true? And as a parent, what are my kids getting in their brain and mind and heart mm-hmm. from media, school, external, and here's what I'd say, and from the church.
Right, no.
Or
right.
not getting from the church or from home that has them thinking in ways that followers of Christ never have accepted in the past.
Yeah. As a church, is it time for us to revisit 2 Chronicles 7:14?
Well, I think it's probably time for us to, I'd say, get even broader. It's time for us to visit the Bible again.
Yeah.
81% of Christians in America, born-again Christians, followers of Jesus, the only time they read the Bible, recent study that was done, is when they come to church. And in times past, a faithful, quote, follower of Jesus would probably be in church about 3 out of 4 weeks a year. Currently in America, it's 1.6 times per month.
Yeah, and when you consider the youth groups, it might be 5 minutes of Bible and 55 minutes of pizza, loud music, and bells and whistles just to get them in. But we know that getting them in doesn't keep them in. What can the pastors be doing, the youth pastors be doing to, you know, better equip parents
yeah.
to, because the ministry really starts on Monday. I heard Tony Evans say, you know, the church is just the huddle on Sunday for the game to be played on Monday. How do we get that into more pastors? And you are a pastor, so how does that work?
Well, I think pastors need to first and foremost teach the parents and help the parents understand this is your deal. We can help you, but parents are morally responsible for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a church, we need to really help. Second is I think we got to get people back in the Scriptures and help them understand where the Scriptures speak to daily life. And so in preparation for all of this and writing the book, I took a year where, you know, along with my normal duties, I traveled around the country and spoke in colleges all over America. Great schools, evangelical schools, and then did some events with Campus Crusade and other 20-somethings. And I did a little experiment. Like I said, how many people here have ever heard a message on homosexuality at church or youth group? No hands go up. How many have ever heard a message on abortion? You know, 3 hands go up out of 1,000. How many have ever heard a message on the environment, what God says about the environment? No hands go up. How many? And so what you realize is that, you know, even if you're teaching God's Word, if we're not addressing what God's Word says about the issues that are shaping the culture, then our kids grow up with TV, video games, kids at school. So their view of abortion, of human sexuality, sexual purity, homosexuality, the environment is basically just the same as the world.
Sure. Now, you talk about the importance of knowing what is true. I've been driving race cars now for 4 decades, for the past 25 years since coming to Christ, where most race cars carry Budweiser or Napa Auto Parts or whatever the sponsorship happens to be on the side of the car. I carry truth, this big honking glowing truth on the quarter panels, and justice for the unborn on the doors with a number 9 that's shaped like a fetus. And I don't make a circus out of things when I go racing. I just go race. The car pretty much says, you know, speaks for itself. But I've noticed that truth is usually received as more of a philosophical postmodern statement of my own subjectivity by most people. You know, what's true for you is true. What may not be true for me type of thing. While the justice for the unborn thing is most often received as a political statement rather than a moral one.
Yeah.
When we talk about issues such as abortion and how to know truth, what should parents be teaching their kids, and how should they teach it pertaining to the absolutes behind these issues? And how can they help their kids stand firm on any moral issue without those same moral issues being reduced to mere political opinions by those who they might encounter in school or in the public square?
Well, I think it takes a lot more than saying, this is what we think, so you ought to think it. They ought to know, mm-hmm. So where does truth come from? I spend 2 chapters in the book talking about the, if you will, the evolution of truth in about the last 100 years. And where did existentialism come from? And helping your kids realize what you're hearing in school right now and academia, guess what? There's about 4,000 years of the brightest and best people that would shake their head and go, okay, so you're telling me you know there's absolutes like gravity, and whether you believe in gravity or not, if you step off a 3-story building, you don't have to believe in it, but the results and outcomes are going to be about the same.
Right.
The same is true about core moral issues. The same is true about, you know, what God says about relationships. And so I think we have to help our kids really get underneath and find out, so why do I believe what I believe? And you got to read, you got to think. I mean, my parents weren't Christians, but they did something that I think if Christian families would do. They were good parents. But we ate dinner together, I bet, 5 out of 7 nights.
Yeah.
And when you got done, you pushed the plates to the middle, and then we talked. And we talked about school, about life, about truth, about, and it was just a dialogue. I remember when my mom, she was a guidance counselor in a public school, and I remember when she came home and started talking about Sloan and situational ethics and, you know, baffled by these things that they were wanting her to do in school. And, you know, all I can tell you is the average Christian home is, and I'm pleased here, I'm not down on people. We've just sort of slid into, we're in minivans and SUVs driving people to multiple practices, spending all day Saturday playing, you know, soccer and this and that. And there's a role and a place for some of that. But that has overwhelmed our families. They don't have time to eat together, talk together, read the scriptures, tuck your kids in bed, tell them stories, and just have margin and downtime. Kids come to you with questions and issues. But there's got to be margin where you're hanging out together and not everybody in the house in front of a screen.
Well, I think
I think it takes a lot of intentionality, but it can sure be done.
I think you nailed it with the whole margin thing. And if you don't have margin in your life, you're not going to have time to talk about the deeper issues of life. And I can tell you from my experience here at Shepherd's Hill, these kids want to talk about these things.
Yes.
They really do. They're starving for it. But they don't feel they can trust adults to give them any decent answers about the deeper issues of life.
We're talking with Chip Ingram today. He has written a book that has captivated our attention. It's called Culture Shock, A Biblical Response to Today's Most Divisive Issues. This is Licensed to Parent. You can find out more about us at licensedtoparent.org.
It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly 2 decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedtoparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedtoparent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent at licensedtoparent.org. And our guest today is Chip Ingram, who has written an amazing book that the title is enough to grab me and make me want to read it. It's called Culture Shock, A Biblical Response to Today's Most Divisive Issues, and one we've just been talking about, spending time together. And along those lines, I mean, our family is very intentional. We specifically want to do these things, but I can tell you, even with the want and the desire, it's easy to slip back into the, okay, everybody grab a sandwich, we're heading out to the minivan that you just described, Chip.
Right.
And my daughter, who's my youngest, she's 11, was even saying to us the other day, we don't eat as a family together nearly as much as we used to. And boy, was that convicting.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we did, too, is I realized that even if people have the intentionality, it has gotten a bit complex, and they don't have the tools. And people aren't readers much anymore. Mm-hmm. And kids don't get information that way. One of the things we did with the content of this book, we put it in a small group format where there's, you know, like 25 minutes of teaching and then discussion. And we have actually, at times, just said, look, parents, once a week, just show the video and sit around and talk about it. And, you know, I'll do the work for you in terms of the background and the history and biblical. But then let's really talk about the whys behind what we believe and what are the consequences. And what I find is when if you first have to be aware of the truth and then you know and begin to talk and share, and then when the truth gets to where, you know what, this is the way I want to live, then you get set free.
Yeah.
But we've got a generation that doesn't even know what the Bible says about human sexuality. Or they've just heard, like on the campuses, I'd say, well, have you ever heard about human sexuality? And the answer is, yeah, we're supposed to wait.
you know,
in other words, it's an external, instead of the beauty of what God's created and why. And of course, we're tempted, but this is amazing design by God. And, you know, as I talk in secular environments and, some guy will say, well, you need to test drive something, and so you got to live together first.
Right.
And now we've got some empirical research, and I just say, okay, here's the deal. Of all the people that live together, these aren't Christians, this is secular research, about 50 to 60 of them eventually get married. But whether you marry or not, if you live together 10 years later, only 1 out of 10 couples is still together.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you know, and so you just want to say, could you hear, God isn't like up in the sky with this big club and a big list of rules, and here's all the things that will crush your joy and make your life unhappy. This is a loving, compassionate, all-knowing God that says, I've set up boundaries. I want you to have great relationships. I want life. I want you to get the very best, and I want you to honor me, and I've designed it. I'm the ultimate engineer. Follow the game plan for your good. And that's a different perspective than, oh, I'm not supposed to do that, but, you know, who's to say?
Right. I think it's interesting that science more and more is backing up what God has already said about these type of things. In a couple of weeks, we'll be interviewing a guy named Leonard Sachs, who I don't know that he's a believer. But he's written a book that backs up a lot of what God has already said with science. But even for the intentional parent, there are still tough questions. For instance, how should a parent respond when Junior says, you know, Mom, Dad, you can claim absolute truth all you want to, but you can't substantiate it absolutely this side of the grave? How do you answer that?
Well, I would just say everybody lives with absolute truth. Theoretically, so I've I wrote my thesis at West Virginia University on the philosophical basis for absolute truth or ethics. If you don't have a right and a wrong, you have no ethics. Mm-hmm. And I remember defending this kind of as an answer to your question. There were these four doctors, and you know, I'd done all this research, written this paper, and then you had to orally defend it. And three of the four were, let's just say, not necessarily kind toward Christianity at all.
Yeah.
And
surprise.
So they were, you know, punching holes and things like that. And I said, well, you all believe in absolute truth. No, it's relative. Mm-hmm. It's, you have yours, I have mine. I said, okay. And the one guy I knew had a couple of small kids. And I said, Dr. Ostro, yes. A guy walks into your house and lines up your two kids and your wife. He's got a 45. He goes, boom, boom, boom. They fall dead, puts the gun away. He said, you know, existentialism, it feels good, do it. That mm-hmm. felt really good. And then, oh, well, that's terrible. I said, well, who are you to say?
Right.
Well, I mean, where do you get the audacious right to be so intolerant that you would say to this man, he can't do this, or, well, that's completely different? I said, no. Mm-hmm. You draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
And what you know instinctively, whether you even believe in God or not, that it's wrong to kill. You know instinctively it's wrong to steal. You know instinctively it's wrong to take another man's wife.
Right.
You know instinctively that life doesn't work if we lie to one another, there's graft and there's corruption. So what we do is we decide when and where we're going to accept absolute truth that are ours, but then we're going to change the rules until it impacts us.
That's exactly right.
And so we all believe in absolute truth. Mm-hmm. And we just, but when you get to decide where the lines are, basically what you're saying is you want your cake and eat it too.
Right.
And it's just intellectually inconsistent.
That is a great defense of that. Unfortunately, so many of us in the Christian camp are not as good at thinking on our feet as you apparently are. We have made a lot of mistakes in dealing with so many of these cultural hot buttons
today. But it goes
today.
Back to being intentional. We're not intentional about having these answers, you know? And I think that's what we have to get back to. I know the kids here at Shepherd's Hill, you know, they'll say, well, my worldview is I should be able to do whatever I want to do as long as it doesn't hurt someone. So there's a weasel clause in their absolutely, you know, as long as it hurts someone. Well, first, now we have to, you know, break down what does it really mean to hurt someone? Is it physically? Is it emotionally? Is it, you know, whatever? But we do what we call pushing the antithesis. We say, okay, Junior, you should be able to do what you want to do as long as, you know, it doesn't hurt someone. What if 7 billion people on the planet thought that way? Then they're pretty honest. It's a very honest generation. Well, there's wars and chaos and death. And okay, here's my worldview. I should believe I should love my neighbors, myself, and do unto others as I had them do unto me. And what's the logical outworking of that? Well, peace, harmony. Which world do you want to live in? And then they come to their own conclusions. And then the stuff kind of sticks. The other thing is they don't believe in miracles. And one of their objections to the Christian faith, they don't believe in miracles. I say, you do believe in miracles. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. No. Or, no, I don't. Well, here, when you back it all to the beginning, you can only come to two really conclusions as to how things began. You can say the Big Bang, two electrons, you know, collided, whatever you want to say. But the bottom line is, where do they all come from? And there's only two answers they can give. And that is, one, something either started from nothing or something always was. Either way, you got a miracle. And so once you get them thinking a little bit, They kind of like that, and they come to their own conclusions. And I've found that, I mean, that's what I found to be true. How about you?
Well, you know what? I think you said something that is behind all of your examples. You made this, when you get them thinking.
Yeah.
When you get them thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think as parents, the subtle shift of culture is parents unconsciously, and we all struggle with this, but, you know, this time, this program, this moment of our conversation is specifically designed for literally thousands and thousands of people that hear exactly what we're saying, where a spark goes in, the Holy Spirit goes, oh. So they pause and go, wait a minute. Because the fact is that we don't have our kids thinking. We've been taught that the goal is to make them happy.
Right.
I want them to be happy, and they want this. And, you know, all their friends have a cell phone by the time they're 11. I guess, you know, mine mm-hmm. should be. And, you know, if you really trust me, you wouldn't ask for, the code to my Facebook. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know why I can't, because, you know, Bobby's daddy, you know, he goes to church, and they let them do this, and they do that. And instead of saying, what's my goal as a parent? How do I help my kids to think? how do we process things? I mean, it's the parent who, you know, we're going to watch something on TV and this commercial comes on and you push pause and you say, wait a second. Okay, now, it just happens to be a toothpaste commercial or a beer commercial or whatever. Is there anybody here that thinks that whiter teeth is going to make blondes jump into red convertibles and drive away with you? Or that, you know, drinking three of those beers is going to cause a band to come out of the back and your whole life? what are you being sold? And what you're really saying is, you got to think. You got to process. You got to evaluate. So the skill of thinking and evaluating, if you start thinking, then guess what they start asking? How do you know what's true?
Right.
And I think that's what you guys are teaching people at the Shepherd's Academy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We don't even talk about the religious things per se. We ask them the fundamental nature of reality, truth. How do we know what right and wrong is? Things like that. And again, God's a logical conclusion along that pursuit. We're about out of time, Chip. I do have one question I'd like to ask you, though. I think our parents would like to hear your answer to this. Metaphorically speaking, you and I grew up in Jerusalem. Even though I wasn't much of a believer as a kid, the church really had it made here in America compared to today. And I grew up in the Chicago area, not really a bastion of Christianity. But today's kids are growing up in Babylon, metaphorically speaking. What are parents going to have to shore up most in order to nurture more Josephs, Daniels, Ruths, and Esthers in order to survive and help revive today's world?
When the culture supports your moral and biblical values, then you can kind of be a little bit laissez-faire and they still kind of catch it. Mm-hmm. I personally must own the biblical, moral, and relational instruction for my child in a hostile environment. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're not going to do that, or we're not going to watch that, or no, I'm sorry, we're going to have refugee family over for Thanksgiving. Oh, Mom, Dad, when we're going to take, a quarter of all our Christmas money and we're going to spend it on this family and we're going to deliver it ourselves.
Yeah,
when kids grow up like that, they have a real faith.
Amen. I'm going to have to press the stop button now because
it's been a joy to be with you.
Well, we are out of time for today, but we'd love to have you back next week if that's all right.
Okay, sure.
Great. Chip Ingram is the senior pastor of Venture Christian Church near San Jose. If you are out in the San Jose area, please stop by and visit him. He might even give you a bear hug. And he is also, by the way, the founder of Living on the Edge, a discipleship ministry and a syndicated radio program that reaches more than 1 million people each week. And if you're interested in getting a copy of Chip's book that we've been discussing, it's called Culture Shock, A Biblical Response to Today's Most Divisive Issues. It's published by Baker Books, and you can find that book and more about Chip Ingram online at livingontheedge.org. Thank you so much, Chip. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Great to be with you guys. And obviously, Amazon and bookstores have it as well. Thanks so much.
Good deal. Thank you, sir. Take care. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta. We're helping teens in crisis and their families through a year-long Christ-centered residential program. You can learn more and you can help support our outreach to these families in need at licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.